with the grilling guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the grilling guy rake, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the Grilling Guys show.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Grilling Guys. We might grill us up some Roadrunner now. I'm thinking that's where that's going. But anyway, I'm Jop, and he's Barbecue Bob. You are listening to the Grilling Guys. And we're all talking all about yard bird. Anything that would run around your yard that we could snatch up and put on the grill, we're going to talk about it. Talked a little bit about dark meat. Now we're going to talk maybe a little bit of marinade, brining, dry rubs, a little temperature. Which one of those you want to dive into, Bob?
Well, I wanted to just mention that.
That would be none of those.
Hearing that Roadrunner, I just took my wife out to the Grand Canyon on our way back from California, and we were in Arizona and all over out there, and I kept telling her, just keep your eye out in the desert, because she's looking at cactus for the first time and all this cool stuff. And I said, just keep your eye out there. You might catch yourself a little Roadrunner running along. She's like, no, they aren't. I said, yeah, really, they are. They run through the desert. They're really ugly little birds that run like crazy.
Not much meat on them.
But they're pretty funny. Yeah, so anyway, here in the Roadrunner.
Did she see one?
No, we never saw one. We had plenty of elk walk up to us, though, when we were in the National Park at the Grand Canyon. And that was, I just nudged her and told her to look to her left, and there's this big cow elk sitting right next to her, standing there. Yeah, I did bring you back some buffalo jerky.
Yeah, you brought me back buffalo jerky. Did you see any of those, or are those pen-raised out
there? No, did not see any. Matter of fact, that stuff was $60 a pound.
Well, I feel special. Thank you.
Yeah, you should.
I should probably frame it rather than eat it.
So as a Native American, there are a bunch of these roadside stands, and I go, wow, $60 a pound. He goes, yeah, buffalo is really hard to get. I'm like, you need to come to Michigan, man. We got like farms of it.
Well, so do they. That was just his line to justify. Yeah, and it worked because you bought it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he has a big Dodge Ram Laredo.
All right, let me reel this back in. Marinating, brining, dry rubs, or temperature? Which one you want to hit for yard bird?
Well, I think the marinade we kind of touched on. Brining is pretty similar. I mean, I have a difficulty determining a brine from a marinade, and I see all sorts of different digressions on it, but basically they're pretty much the same thing. You're adding salt and sugar and liquid and aromatics, if you will. Marinades very often have tomato in them. You know, when you hear a marinade, it's generally got something red going on with it as a rule. So, but it's really a brine. It just has some sort of other vegetable in it, giving it a coloration, whereas brine is typically clear.
Well, okay, I agree with you, but I'm going to throw a little exception in that. One of the things I like to marinate in is zesty Italian dressing. Okay, it's an oil profile. It does have aromatics built into it. But that to me, when I put a chicken thigh in that, or even a chicken breast in that, and it's more of a coating than it is a brine.
So then we can say that a marinade's thicker than a brine.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I don't know if Italian dressing has so much salt in it. It does. I think it has some, but maybe that's more. To me, the difference between a marinade and a brine is a marinade I soak in, a brine I put it on to cook it.
I think you need to text the people at Wishbone and figure that
out. All right. I said that backwards.
It's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay. So marinating and brining, they're both really serving the same function. You're taking fluids and trying to inject moisture and flavor into your meat. Brining is typically something just water, salt, sugar, aromatic. If you are making up a brine, make sure you use hot water and a small amount of hot water. Dilute the sugar and salt. Make sure they dissolve properly. Otherwise, you'll end up with a bunch of salt and sugar in the bottom of your container, your vat. And then dump ice in it to cool it down before you put your meat in there, and you'll have a nice clear liquid. You can put aromatics in it. I usually do with brining, depending on what.
So if somebody doesn't know what you're referencing in aromatic, what is that?
Oh, like thyme, fresh thyme sprigs, or tarragon, or parsley,
basil,
cilantro, basil. Basil Zappa, yeah, anything like that.
All of those leafy vegetables, leafy seasonings.
Lychee.
That you can put in there that'll provide a flavor profile.
That's
what we're talking about.
And, you know, one thing I wanted to talk about was a little spatchcock chicken. But before, I want to tell everybody, we have a new sponsor on the show.
Okay.
And that is Kingsland Ace Hardware in Grand Rapids and Cascade. On the east end of Grand Rapids in the Cascade area. So welcome aboard Kingsland Ace Hardware. We're happy to have Sandy and Scott and the whole family on board because that's a really old hardware store that sells a ton of grills.
Big Weber dealer.
On
that's
April,
a great place to go get a Weber grill, right?
Yes, it is. On awesome. April 30th, Jop's bowing out of this, but I'm going to go solo from 10 to 2 for a grill demo. And what I discovered when I was there last week is that Weber just came out with a new charcoal Summit. You know, the Summit is their top of the line.
Mm-hmm.
They made a charcoal Summit. It's like a Bubba keg. It's a big, it's like a giant Weber dome, but it's double walled. And it's a smoker, so it's kind of like a Kamado, but it's all metal, so it'll cool down much faster. It's got some really cool innovations on it, so I'm going to be smoking country ribs on that, and that's April 30th from 10 to 2.
Next weekend.
Come down to Kingsland Ace Hardware on the east end of 28th Street, and come on up and give me some grief. And bring me a cold one or something because I'm going to be out there sweating for 4 hours without my partner, Jop, to keep me libated.
Yeah, and the only reason is it's a trout opener, and I don't miss that every year. So I'm going to be up standing in a river trout fishing. 30th is opening day. So
just don't drop any.
No, I won't. But let's come back to your spatchcocking now, okay? Some people, that's an odd term. So explain what that really is.
Some people just like to say it.
Right.
Yeah. It's a way of making a nice whole hen flat. And basically you take a pair of poultry shears or tin snips or whatever you want to cut your chicken apart with, but you flip it over breast down so that the back is up, and you find the spine and you cut up each side of it and you open that thing out, and then you have a spineless being. So it would be like qualified to run for Congress. You then take that chicken.
With a little extra marinade. Yeah.
Clinks. So then it lays open, and you actually cut some of the wing bones out, and you partially debone the thing, but it lies flat. So you now can apply your rubs and oils and aromatics and spices, salts, whatever you're putting on it, to both sides of the chicken.
Right.
Whether you're smoking it or grilling it, if you're grilling in particular, it's a fantastic way to do that because you have the heat hitting every piece of that bird at the same time. That's the cool. That's what I really probably enjoy the most, because a lot of people just have grills, and I'm always thinking about, you know, how do you help that guy that just has a grill? And maybe it's not even a great grill, but it's what he's got, because we're all there at one point or another, right? So any grill this will work on. One thing to remember is that that bird is going to be different thicknesses and different parts, so you're going to have to be careful with your temperatures. The thickest pieces are going to be the breast meats, right? So when you check your temps, you'll check the breasts, and then I would tell you to check around those thighs in the joint, because that's the part that seems to have the most trouble getting done. You don't want bloody thigh joints in a chicken if you serve it.
No, you pull that off there, and when you make your first cut, if that happens, you've lost the appetite of everybody sitting around
the
table.
The other thing I would tell you to do is oil up the skin side and oil up the skinned inner portion of the chicken, and start that thing off with the skin on top for as long as possible. And that way all the fats from that chicken will render down into the chicken and add to your flavoring before you flip it over on the skin, because you want a bunch of that fat rendered off before you flip it over to the grill. Otherwise, you're just going to have a grease fire.
What temperature are you cooking that to 2 minutes of done?
Low. Chicken is always a medium-low.
Right. And when it's done, it's at what temperature?
The meat's going to be 165.
All right. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're breaking down the yard bird today. Stick with us. We'll be back.